Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is it a mistake to jump off the Cowboys bandwagon after their shutout loss? Plus, five-time NBA champ Derek Fisher joins the show to discuss the Lakers, LeBron, and a lot more. And should the Eagles keep riding with Nick Foles regardless of Carson Wentz's health? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
The Cowboys, let's talk about them. They were shut out for the first time since 2003 after a big loss to the Colts on Sunday. Dak Prescott said, quote, "Sunday's loss is a wake-up call." And Ezekiel Elliott added, quote, "We needed a reality check. The Cowboys were rolling before Sunday, winning five straight. And next up for Dallas, a home game Sunday against the Bucks on Fox." We're joined now by Rob Parker. So,
here
Rob.
Here we go. What's
here
up? Good morning, Steve Bayless. Good morning, Shannon Shore.
Let's talk about the Cowboys. Good morning. Are the real Cowboys the team that won five straight, or are they the team that was shut out on Sunday?
You know, Skip Bayless, you saw Cowboys on Sunday.
Oh, yes. That's it.
And all Cowboy fans, this is their nightmare. Is that Dak Prescott is going to be the real Dak Prescott when it's a big game and when it matters. No Cowboy team had been shut out since 2003.
And they've had some bad ones.
And they've had bad ones. We could go back to Quincy Carter. Can I go back there, Skip? You remember those Quincy Carter days? Bill Parcells was the coach back then.
Matt Castle quarterback even.
They had a lot of bad quarterbacks. But the bottom line is, you know, and everybody knows, they had a nice little run. Things kind of worked out. We saw this in the second half against the Saints. Remember that 13-10 win where they didn't score in the second half at home? Do you remember that?
Who won?
No, I got who won, but I'm just telling you these moments.
Who won on Sunday, Rob?
I know who won this Sunday, Skip, since we're talking about wins and losses. But I think everybody knows this is their nightmare, is that at some point, Dak is going to have to win you a football game. And most people doubt that he's able to do it. If the running game is good, if the defense is good, you got a shot, because then Dak isn't there. But if it's not, and you got to rely on Dak making plays when it really matters against a good team in a good big situation, these nights are going to happen. This is what you're going to see.
So what happened 2 weeks ago against the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champs at Jerry World? What did Dak Prescott do in that game?
Were they the defending champs, or were they a team scuffling and struggling? Because that's what they were at that point.
They had Carson Wentz.
They won the game, and then
he's
what
did way
Carson
better
Wentz,
than
right?
Dak Prescott. Carson Wentz is way better. That's what I hear.
Skip, did they blow him out, or did they win? They won by a touchdown.
Dak Prescott threw for 455 yards. How do you do that? How do you, in the fourth quarter in overtime, throw for 243 and three touchdowns? Wow. I don't know if you can't throw. I don't know. Maybe he was throwing it underhand. I don't know what he was doing. Behind his back, through his legs. I don't know what he was doing.
It's the NFL. And more of those days, that's the anomaly. That's every once in a while, you know this, Shannon, in this league, even I don't care who you are, you're going to have a big day. We saw Fitzpatrick have some unbelievable games. And then what happened? He was reduced to who he really is. And
Nick Mullins, the guy from the 49ers, from Southern
Miss. Remember that first game?
He's got 430. He's thrown for 432 in a game this year, Skip.
I don't really care. I just don't
care. Of course not.
I just know my team is 8-6.
You're the same guy who threw his jersey in the garbage
after
a Dak Prescott loss.
Speak on it.
Guy who retrieved the jersey.
Did you do it if you still have faith in the guy? You know this guy is going to wear his ugly head when it matters most.
I've said this many times. I'm going to say it one more Time just for your benefit. This team is the most frustrating team I have ever rooted for an entire season because I have ridden a roller coaster unlike any other year in any other sport I've ever rooted for any team, including college football or basketball
ever.
Or baseball. This team is wildly inconsistent, but its highs are really high because when I least expected, when Jacksonville came to Dallas, number one in defense and points allowed and yards allowed, my Cowboys did a 24-0 number on them in the first half and won 40-7. That's the same Jacksonville that just 2 weeks ago shut out Andrew Luck 6-0 at Jacksonville.
No, and but that team has lost so many games this year. It's not the same team.
Thank you.
So
but
you can't hang your hat on that game because Jacksonville revealed to itself that it's not that good.
But they hadn't revealed that when they came to Dallas.
Dallas
left them for dead just the way they left New Orleans for dead on that Thursday night. New Orleans hasn't been the same since Dallas, and Jacksonville hasn't been the same since Dallas. So my team can be really good and really bad sometimes in the same game, such as the one 2 weeks ago against Philly at Jerry World. But when it's time, backs to wall, edge of cliff, my team always has responded this year, and I remain convinced that when it matters most, my team will be really good instead of really bad. Now, again, I tried to explain this to Shannon. He rejected this theory, but I know my team. My team had gone through a 5-game revenge tour. We got to get revenge. And they went to Atlanta and got revenge for that debacle there last year. They got revenge twice over Philadelphia, once over Washington. They would have won the game at Washington with Amari Cooper. It went to the last kick, which hit the left upright. But they didn't have Amari for that game. They would have won the game against the Texans in Houston.
They would have won every game, according to you.
Well, but they didn't have Amari Cooper. So all of a sudden.
But they had Dak.
What's that?
They had Dak.
Dak couldn't win the game.
You told me Dak's that guy.
What happened this time? They go up to Indianapolis. There's no bad blood between Indianapolis and Dallas. They don't even care. They don't even know who the Colts are. And the Colts came from nowhere after they lost their first three or four games.
I think they started 1-3.
And they go up there and they wake up on Sunday morning and realize, you want to talk about catbird seat? They're in the catbird seat. They got a 2-game lead in the division. And on Sunday, they know in their heart of hearts, the Redskins have to go to Jacksonville with Josh Johnson at quarterback, and the Eagles have to go to L.A., where we sit right now, and play the Rams with Nick Foles back at
quarterback. And what they do when they came to L.A.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is, do you think Dallas thought that was going to happen? Because nobody thought that was going to happen because they were, 14-point underdogs.
So they basically said, oh, we'll just toss the game in Indy because it doesn't matter.
They knew that this was the first game. Remember the Michigan Revenge Tour? What did they call it?
The Revenge Tour.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, they had a game that wasn't revenge because they don't even know the Colts and they didn't need the game and they failed to show up for the game, especially the defense. It came in number one in the NFL in yards per rush allowed per play. And they give up 178 yards rushing. That's abominably bad. That's embarrassing. They got exposed for a day because they can't just roll those helmets with the star out on the field and think that the Colts are going to shrink and fall on their backs because they're not. And the Colts played great and Dallas played miserable. It was their worst game of the year, although the Tennessee game was pretty close. So now, again, they don't really have to win this Sunday, which I dread, but they're 7-point favorites against Jameis Winston and Tampa Bay at home.
Yeah.
They don't have to win it because, again, Philly's got a hard game against the Texans at home, and Washington has
Texans
to go to
Tennessee.
Texans
are due to lose.
Okay, well, if you're right about that, then Dallas needs to win.
I'm trying to figure out, why would you put off tomorrow what you could take care of today? Why? Oh, we don't need to win the game.
And if you're that good, Shannon,
yeah.
You would just win the game because you're that good.
Well, I believe they're going to beat Tampa Bay.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where to go out on a limb?
Okay,
but
well,
you
I
also
do.
Believe they were going to beat Indy.
Okay, you want to up your bet?
No.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I tried to
I'll let
last
you go
week.
Up to four. I'll do it to five. I'll do five cases and five cases.
But okay.
You bet five cases Philly was going to win the division. I'm sorry, three cases that they're going to win the division, and three that Dallas would not win the division. So I'll let him do it if
I
you
tried,
can increase the stakes.
Okay, well, since you want to tell everything, mm-hmm. dry snitching about our
I'm
bet.
I'm not dry snitching. It's been on the air every day.
Why did you tell Rob that, Rob? He tried to bet me two cases that the Cowboys were going to lose on Sunday, and I wouldn't do it.
Time out. You tried to bet me two cases,
I did.
And I wouldn't take it.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't take it. And guess what? I was right not to take it.
Exactly. Thank That's you. My point. But now.
And I'm still up 17. I'm almost up 17 cases.
But 17 now, cases? Yeah. You could open up a store.
I know.
But now. But you see what he does, Rob? Now that he's in a favorable position. Oh, I'll bet you four. I'll bet you. Let's make it right here. Five cases. Play a little old lowly Tampa. When was the last time Tampa won a game, Skip?
Okay. Well, you're trying to rub my nose in what happened in Indianapolis. And I'm saying. When my team needs to win a game, it's going to win
Hold
a game.
Hold on, talk about, you see what he does, Rob? Now, he came out here for five straight weeks. He out here with his chest all out. He up here like this here. Mm-hmm. How about them Cowboys? My quarterback, Dak Prescott.
I like that. Do it again.
No,
I like the ring of that.
455 yards. Dak Prescott did this on Thanksgiving. Dak. Hey, now, all of a sudden.
Who's the leading rusher in the National Football League? Number 21.
What'd he do? And Marlon Mack showed him up.
He did.
Showed him up.
Yep. But he's still the leading rusher. Amari Cooper is still, to me, the hottest receiver in pro football. And I got him, and he changed my life.
4 for 32.
Yeah.
T.Y. Hilton said,
Yeah. And I didn't love it going up there because my Pro Bowl guard was out, Zach Martin, and then the other guard who's played really at a high level, Sua Fila, he got hurt, got poked in the eye. I don't know what happened, but he was gone.
But aren't you afraid that if they don't win this game against Tampa, that there's a chance that the Giants, their rivals, could try to win that last game? You know what? Eli's last stand, right?
Yeah.
Could be. Is it possible my Cowboys would have to go win a game at the Giants? It's not like they haven't done that before.
But a rivalry game.
No, you hadn't. Because you remember you had Tony Romo?
Yeah.
You remember the games y'all lost? When all you had to do was win one game at the end? Mm. You lost in Philly. You lost at the Giants. You remember that, Skip Bayless? So don't do
you
that.
You remember that season.
Don't do that, Skip.
I got a guy with football character. I got a guy with backbone. I got a big play, big stage playmaker. I got a
Where
warrior.
At?
I got a warrior.
Where
That's
at?
What I got.
Where
Dak
at?
Prescott.
You got a turnover machine.
You got a turnover machine.
I got a warrior.
You got a turnover machine.
No, I do
Skip,
not.
Skip, I'm shocked that you went from tossing his jersey into the garbage to saying that this guy, because they won, I had a five-game winning streak against a couple of so-so teams, and they beat
so-so.
The Saints. I give you that.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor?
What's up?
Can you buy me some that Prescott, that Dak Prescott cologne?
I want to
wear
it.
They say you wear it at night when you don't want to score.
Exactly.
I've heard that what I heard, Skip. I don't know if it's true
really?
Or not.
What?
I'm just saying. That's what I heard.
Who would ever buy that?
Who would ever buy that?
They said that's that Prescott.
I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah. That Prescott, then he got new cologne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to talk about.
When they don't want to score.
I hope he's watching right now because when my guy gets challenged, good stuff
So we like the challenge.
Who challenged? Ain't nobody challenged.
You just challenged him?
No, I did not.
You just tried to shame him.
How?
I like it.
No mercy.
Well, we all watched as Drew Brees and the Saints won last night, but his numbers have definitely taken a hit. Brees has been high in the MVP race, but he has struggled recently, throwing only 2 touchdown passes in his last 3 games, including 0 last night. He entered the weekend with the second best MVP odds behind Patrick Mahomes. So, Shannon, who's the MVP right now?
3 cases to do right now. My homeboy.
Really?
Yeah, that's 3 cases.
That's interesting.
You want some of this?
I might think about that.
Okay. Look, it's not even close. Yeah. They were neck and neck. But it's not even close. Jenny, you mentioned it.
Not even close?
Not even close. Drew Brees' last 3 weeks, 177 yards a game passing, 2 TDs, 3 INTs, and then he threw another pick on the 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. So, but that doesn't go against him. Patrick Mahomes, in his last 3 games, he's averaging 305, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick. So, for me, guess what? Drew Brees is now 3rd. Phillip Rivers is in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Drew Brees is what, 31-5? Mahomes is going to win this thing in a landslide, Skip.
Landslide.
Because he's going to be the only guy to do something. Only one of the guys done this.
Mm.
50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards.
Mm.
Peyton Manning. He's the number 1 seed right now. The numbers, Skip, he's 11 touchdowns clear of the next closest, and that's Andrew Luck.
Mm.
He's 11 clear. He's the number 1 seed. So at the end of the day, yes, you need to win, but this is still a stat award.
Mm.
And nobody is close to my homeboy when it comes to stats and winning.
Mm.
So Patrick Mahomes, the 2018's MVP, will be who, Skip Bayless?
I don't,
Patrick Mahomeboy.
Mm. Didn't you guarantee me that Tua would win the Heisman in a landslide?
I'm guaranteeing it.
Didn't you guarantee me again and again and again? And you said you'd bet a case of do on it. I said, I accept. And then you backed off at the last second. Hurt.
But I tell you what, I'm going to tell you like them old men in the South. I bet my bottom dollar. You know what bottom dollar is, Jenny? Yeah. That's the last one I got. Mm. I bet my bottom dollar my homeboy win this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have some inside info?
I don't know.
There you go.
One year you had it on Matt Ryan. I don't know who told you. But you know what? You can't have it right now because we got two big games left in this year.
Yeah.
And each of these three candidates have big stage, big tests coming up. So I don't know how you could have insight.
I don't have insight. Okay. I just don't know how you take the MVP from a man with, because like you said Kyler Murray was doing things we had never seen.
He was.
Well, only Peyton Manning gets thrown for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in the same season.
Uh-huh.
And this is what Patrick Mahomes is going to do.
By the way, you were talking about Andrew Luck's touchdowns. How many did he throw against Dallas? I don't remember.
How many? Hold on.
He throws 0-0.
How many did Drew Brees throw last night?
I don't know.
Oh.
I have said that Drew Brees was slightly ahead until these last 3 weeks, and we haven't done this topic for, three weeks.
Right.
And you got me on this one. At this moment, you got me, because Drew Brees has not exactly made his case in the last 3 weeks. He has unmade his case, and you just spat out all the stats. And I agree with you. I've been nonplussed at best here by I keep waiting for where's that guy, and I don't see that guy
and
anymore.
I know who. Hold on, time out. Guess who we're not even talking about in the MVP discussion? The guy that's supposed to be playing so great. Why are we not mentioning him?
Who?
The guy that's supposed to be playing great, that's playing great football, that looks great.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Why are we not talking about him?
Whose coach cost him the win at Miami, or we would be talking about him.
No, we wouldn't, Skip.
Yes, we would.
No, Skip.
Yeah, I think we would.
With these numbers he's got.
If they'd gone and won at Pittsburgh and had won at Miami, he'd be right back in the discussion.
Well, Skip, with little 22, 23 measly
touchdowns. So right now, if I had to cast a vote at this moment, it would go to one Phillip Rivers.
Okay. Oh, you would do it. You know what? You just don't want me to win.
I just don't. Do you remember what your kid did on Monday Night Football against the Rams?
Yeah, he threw six touchdowns for 478 yards. Yeah. You remember that, Jenny?
I do.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
He turned the ball over five times.
Turnovers.
His team is 2-2 in the last four games. You like that? I don't like that.
Skip. But you just told me Phillip Rivers had a debilitating loss. He lost to Case Keenum.
He did.
You ask me, did you like that?
Five games ago, he did.
Okay.
And then he's had these miraculous comebacks at Pittsburgh and at Kansas City that wowed me. I mean, I can't argue against it. I can't discount what he's done.
Think about who Mahomes has lost to. Mm-hmm. He lost to Tom Brady, leading the division. Mm-hmm. He lost to the Rams, leading their division. Mm-hmm. He lost to the Chargers, 11-3, has a chance to overtake them. But still in those games, 12 TD passes, 1,073 yards, and three losses. Mm-hmm. Let that sink in for just think about it, Skip Bayless. That's only 11 fewer touchdowns in three games than Tom Brady has thrown in 14. Let that sink in for just a second.
I would like our viewers to let this sink in, that a former Denver Bronco is pulling for a Kansas City Chief to win MVP. That should be against your religion.
No.
Right?
When I come
your
up here,
blood should boil orange.
When I come up here, I throw all that allegiances aside. Yeah. I got to be honest with the folk, because they're going to see through, Shannon, you being a homer. That's one thing they'll never say about O'Shea Shaw. I'm going to call it like I see it.
So here we go again, where you could be backed into a corner, rock and hard place.
But what?
Because what if your team, the Chargers, that you picked to win it all?
Yes.
What if your guy, Phillip Rivers, has two classic games? He's got the Ravens, and then he has to go back to the scene of their crime. I mean, they lost to Denver, but he has to go to Denver for the last game.
And beat the team that beat him.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So those are big tests for Phillip Rivers. What if he makes A-pluses in those two games against the number one defense and then rights the wrong at Denver? He could make a big MVP case here, right?
You do know Mahomes got the Raiders last game of the season at home.
Okay.
he could easily throw six tubs.
Yeah, but he's also got a big game at Seattle, which will be no walk in that park.
Hold on, didn't they just take it on the chin to San Francisco?
Okay, but you know they're different at home. You know it, and I know it. They
different. I got a feeling on my homeboy going to come out and do something.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you had that feeling about Tua, too, in the SEC championship game.
Oh, yeah.
You want to put a case of Duke? I'm going to say, you know what?
He'll throw four touchdown passes?
Three.
Three and
300.
You said four. Do you want to put a case on it?
Okay.
I'll do a case on four right now.
Four and 250. Or three and 300.
Well, I'm going with your original bet. It's four. Four touchdown passes for a case to do.
No,
I got it.
No.
No, you said that first.
No. Hold on.
I accepted the bet.
But Jenny, you see what he did? Now, he's been talking about Drew Brees, the completion percentage, the QBR, and all this. And now he done jumped on Phillip Rivers. See,
I
ride with my guy.
Yeah, if we do the topic 3 weeks ago, I'm saying Drew Brees is running away with this. Plus, you got the narrative. He's never won an MVP, and he's about to turn 40 years of old.
And guess what? Now that I'm in the catbird seat, you know what catbird means, right?
We do now.
It's a favorable position. I've been looking good.
Have you ever seen a catbird?
No, yeah.
Did you raise a catbird on your farm?
No.
No.
I was in the catbird seat because I was always sitting pretty.
He's just updating resume, Shannon.
No.
That's what we do around here.
And speaking of QBR, now Patrick Mahomes has run away with the QBR race. It's 82-81 over Drew Brees. You like that? 82-81.
No. Drew Brees is running away with the QBR. Drew Brees is running away with quarterback rating.
82-81.
Aaron Rodgers, that 122.5 is going to stand the test of time.
Who's played the best football over the last crucial month of the NFL season? It's Phillip Rivers. I mean, seriously.
Yes.
You have to give that to him.
Am I right? That's why I have him at number two.
Well, you have Mahomes at number one just because you've had him all year.
Skip, what am I supposed to do with 45 touchdowns and 4,500 yards?
Five turnovers in that game and 2-2 in the last four in the crucial month?
Even with five turnovers.
And it should have been 1-3 because I don't know how he pulled that one out.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Lamar had him.
You know what?
Dead to right.
No, he didn't have him. He have him nothing. Yeah. Oh, my homeboy said, I got something for y'all.
They should have put Lamar in at safety because he would have just picked that pass off.
Well, you know what?
Prayer.
That was not a prayer. Well, it was an answer. No
mercy. On Sunday, Tom Brady, he lost to the Steelers for the first time since 2011. He did some very un-Brady-like things, including a horrible attempt to throw the ball out of bounds that was picked off in the fourth quarter. NFL analyst and future Hall of Famer Charles Woodson, who also played at Michigan with Brady, he thinks father time has finally met the 41-year-old. Woodson said this, "I just think the NFL is catching up to Tom Brady. I think he's actually starting to feel all the hits, all the sacks of the NFL. It happens to every player. It happened to myself as a player. At some point in time, it just catches up with you. Shannon.
There we go.
Is he right?
It's not the NFL. It's father time. And I've said this. And the thing is, now I've been ahead of the curve with this. But see, for me, I guess because Charles played with Tom at Michigan, and, you know, Tom is viewed a little different than Shannon. He's not going to get called a hater. But when I point something out, I'm a hater. But you know what? That's okay. I deal with it. I deal with it. I don't mind being called a hater. It's just called this natural thing called old age. And it happens. Because think about it. Teams try to get off of players once they get to 30. They say they're starting to slip.
Yep.
But Tom Brady is different. Tom Brady, if that's the case, why not hire more 41-year-olds to play in the NFL?
Because there's only one like this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But this is what we know. Over his last seven games, Tom Brady has thrown 8 touchdowns. 20 quarterbacks have more touchdowns in that span. Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Mitchell Trubisky. Just for argument here, Pat Mahomes has 23 over that same time span. This is where Tom Brady ranks in completion. You keep talking about Aaron Rodgers and this, that. Tom Brady is 18th in completion percentage, 11th in yards per attempt. He's tied for 10th in touchdown passes. That's Tom Brady. But he's not slipping. When have you ever seen Tom Brady have these kind of numbers this late in the season? But I want to show you something that happened last night in the game. What Drew Brees did and what Tom Brady did on Sunday. DJ, drop that track for me right quick.
There's something I can't compete with this.
And you know I don't.
I'm sunk.
I don't like
to play. I can't win this debate.
Jenny, I don't
now.
Like to break. Look at this. Now Julius Peppers hit Drew Brees in his chops. And you see him step into that throw. Look at this. No, I'm gonna take it in the chops.
Drew Brees ain't going to last
much longer. Look at this hit. Yeah. That's Julius Peppers. That's 6'6", 285 down the pipe. Mm. Look at Tom Brady. Look at Tom Brady.
Uh-huh. What did Drew Brees...
Look at this here. Look at this here.
What did Drew Brees throw for last night?
Like when you bring research.
Yeah! That's all I'm talking about. As you get
Aren't you the same guy who, 10 minutes ago, you just blasted Drew Brees for the last three games. You said he was pretty pathetic, right?
Tom Brady's been pathetic over the last seven games. But this is not your turn, Skip Bayless. Huh. I'm not going to let you do this. This is my turn to talk now. Huh. This is not your turn. Okay. This is my turn. Yeah. All I'm saying is that when you play this game long enough, mm-hmm. you lose your stomach to take those shots in the chops. Yep. Charles Woodson is absolutely right. As you start to get old, Jenny, those licks start to hurt a little bit more. Then you start to feel them, they start to wear on you. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much you can do to split. I don't care how pliable you are. When you take enough hits to the chops, and we saw it front and center, you lose your nerve. Tom Brady is losing his nerve.
Tom Brady, you heard it. Lost your nerve. Hey. It's okay.
You see, because what happens is that when you try to critique an all-time great player, the first thing everybody will say, he has five rings. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not critiquing him trying to take the rings away.
Sure.
This is why, see, for me, I didn't even know what he said this because I'd never listened to sound, and I don't watch other shows that might have a debate that he and I might talk. So I don't know what's being said. I'm talking about what I see. And the one thing they can tell you about Shannon Sharpe, as any coach that coached me, and I write down notes. You know what, Skip? I watch film, and I write down everything Gary Kubiak said. I wrote down everything Chane Gailey said, everything Matt Kavanaugh said. Because if something didn't happen in the game, I want to be able to come back and show you. So I was very, very attentive to detail. Watch the tape. All you got to do is watch the tape. And you tell me Tom Brady is still the same guy, that he still has the stomach to stand in the pocket, look down, and rush out traffic, and stand there and take it. He is not, and the numbers back me up. He's a five-time Super Bowl champ. He's a three-time league MVP. But he's lost his stomach to take those hits.
Tell me when you're
finished. Take your time and do what you need to do.
Yeah. By the way, I wrote down everything Bill Walsh told me, and then I wrote down everything Jimmy Johnson told me, and then everything Tom Landry told me. And I see absolutely no aging in 141-year-old Tom Brady. And this whole debate just it amuses me because it's so silly. And you're going to look so bad, and I feel sorry for you and Charles Woodson and all the ex-stars who are clearly just jealous of a 41-year-old who's playing at a supremely high level, far past their ability to play at supremely high levels at other positions that were much more injurious and dangerous to play than quarterback is.
If you play in the NFL, you're playing at a high level because there's only 1,500 people do of 7 billion what you do. But is Tom Brady playing at top? Because like you tell me, Skip, you say when we critique and judge GOATs, we'll hold him to the highest standard. Is he playing at that standard with these numbers? A simple yes or a simple no will suffice.
It's my turn and I'm talking.
I guess that means no.
I have heard this for at least 5 years, 7 years, 8, 9 years. It's always, this isn't fair, the ex-players. This isn't fair. Tom Brady can't play this way. He flinches. He ducks. He's losing his nerve. He's not taking the career-threatening shots in the pocket. It's not fair. This is football. It's a hard game, and he's avoiding the danger. It's not fair. He can't keep playing this long. I've heard it so long, and I'm going to hark back to a quote that I mentioned yesterday, but I looked it up, and I'm going to read it right now because I love Ryan Clark, but this was uttered on ESPN back in May 7th of 2013. This is 5 years ago, and this is what my friend Ryan Clark, ex-Pittsburgh Steelers star, said of Tom Brady. He said, when Tom Brady gets pressure, and when you're man-to-man and bumping those guys and making it hard for him to throw, he sees ghosts, said Ryan Clark. Even when guys aren't around him, even when he's not about to be sacked, when his clock goes off in his head and that ball should be out, we'll see him duck. We'll see him flinch. When you get Tom Brady doing that, the whole New England Patriots mystique goes away. That was 2013. That was a long time ago. And since then, Tom Brady played the greatest fourth quarter we'd ever seen in a Super Bowl against the Legion of Boom after the 2014 season. And then he played the greatest fourth quarter in overtime in the comeback against Atlanta. And then just last Super Bowl, he threw for an all-time playoff record 505 yards in a Super Bowl game. That's what he did after he's seen ghosts, according to Ryan Clark. And do you know how many times I've heard that he's lost his nerve, that he's fading, that he's finally showing his age? It goes on and on. I have to go back to 05. Do you remember he lost to Jake Plummer at Denver? And
that's skip.
Whoa. It's my turn. That's when I first heard Tom Brady's losing it. And then in 09, he lost a home playoff game 33-14 to Ray Rice and company. He managed only 14 points against the Ravens, turned around 1 year later, and lost to Mark Sanchez at home in Foxborough. And then in 2012, he lost to Baltimore, scoring only 13 points at home. And dare I even bring up the classic turning point game in early 2014 when they went to Kansas City and lost 41-14. That was the we're on to Cincinnati game, said Bill Belichick. But that was the night everybody said, you know, it's just sad and pathetic to watch Tom Brady because he's washed up. So what happened this year? Look at what he's been through. Belichick traded away Brandon Cooks, who was his best receiver last year. Am I right about that?
That should have no effect on Tom Brady. Okay. He's that guy.
Then he let go Danny Amendola, didn't want to re-sign him, so he signed.
Should have no effect if Tom Brady's that guy.
Those were his two best receivers a year ago.
But he's Tom Brady. He don't need receivers. Remember, he take those guys from Dorchester. That's what you tell me.
There's no more Martellus Bennett this year, who was pretty effective last year. And Deion Lewis, did he not like to flip it in emergencies to Deion Lewis?
Got James White.
You know, well, boy, Deion Lewis was explosive. Probably a little quicker and faster than
James White. James White called 14 passes for over 120 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Then we go through this training camp, and Malcolm Mitchell is cut, and then they try Eric Decker, and he's cut, and then my man Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt, and I thought, okay, Brady's got he's cut too, and it felt like Belichick was trying to sabotage Tom Brady. Look at all those receivers who are gone. And finally, after Edelman missed the first four games, they go get what's left of Josh Gordon when Cleveland finally said, that's enough, and I think, okay, maybe finally they can sort of, bring back the what's left of Josh Gordon, and maybe he'll be just a semblance of Randy Moss and give Brady something to throw to. And on the last play of the game at Pittsburgh, he wasn't even on the field. I don't know if he's been doghoused. I don't know what's happened, but he caught one ball against Pittsburgh. One ball, that's all you got. And by your own concession, Rob Gronkowski is just this broken down, pathetic shell of himself. And that's all you're throwing to now? So who else is there?
Time out. Did Tom Brady not beat the Atlanta Falcons, play the greatest fourth quarter in overtime without Rob Gronkowski? Did he not throw for five? Did he not throw for the most? Hold on, time out. Wait a minute. That's my turn.
I'm not sure what's left here.
Whoa.
I thought it was still my turn.
No.
I got rudely interrupted.
No, you conceded the floor to me.
I did not.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Skip Bayless. Now, you just told me that he threw for the most yards in the 99-year history of the NFL in the playoffs.
He did.
Did he have Julian Edelman? Now, all of a sudden, seven games.
Did he have Brandon Cooks in that game? No, he left early with a concussion. I don't know how he did.
And he still threw for 505. So, again.
And he was throwing to Chris Hogan, who's 7-11, always closed. He's the one 7-11 that closes every day.
Hold on.
And you can't even get in it.
Hold on. In the Super Bowl last year, Chris Hogan went over 100 yards.
I know. That's the last I've seen of him.
Oh, that's a nice
last. Have you seen him this year? I saw one little burst against
Pittsburgh. Again, and this is what happens when you critique an all-time great. Now, very few people are willing to critique an all-time great. See, me, true. I don't care. You know why? Because I sit at the desk across from this man every day and we debate topics. I'm never going in the field to interview anybody. See, those guys have to be very careful because if you critique the all-time greats too harshly, they won't do an interview with you. They won't sit down with you. I don't give a damn if they talk to Shannon Sharp.
Nor do I.
But see, Skip Bayless, what he tries to do is he tried to flip it and said, you're jealous. Charles Woodson has a Heisman Trophy. Charles Woodson is a Defensive Player of the Year. Charles Woodson has a Super Bowl ring.
What happened to Charles Woodson when he played against Tom Brady in a playoff game at Foxborough? The bridge got burned. The ties got cut.
How?
Because he got tuck ruled. And he was the one who caused the fumble. So he still hasn't forgiven Tom Brady for getting away
Tom didn't pick
That's
up the flag.
That's what it was.
Tom didn't pick up the flag.
That's why he's...
No, he's not. Skip. Skip, you got
to
stop.
It's okay to be a little resentful.
You know what I...
It's okay.
Jenny, this is what I've learned, and I wrote this down. We really listen to what we want to hear. Mm. If you notice, when you want to find information, where can I go to get the information that I want to hear?
True. Mm.
Shannon Sharpe gonna give it to you filtered, uncut. Mm. Skip Bayless, that way.
Are you saying mine's filtered?
Yeah, you filtered.
I'm filtered?
You gave Dak Prescott.
Wait, do you think I care what anybody says? Yes. Do you think I want to interview anybody?
Yeah,
no, I don't interview anybody.
Neither of you guys don't care about that.
You interviewed.
Zero.
Hold on, time out. You didn't interview Tim Tebow?
Yeah, once.
Oh, whoa, time out.
And he requested that I interview
him. Hey, now, why would he do that? Why would he? That's not what Skip Bayless does. Mm. Why would he request Skip Bayless and not something? Yeah. Come on, Skip. Time out, Jenny.
Do you think I cared whether I interviewed him?
Say, I want you to say again, because I was talking and they didn't hear you. Why did he request Skip? He was what?
Because he was comfortable with
him. Oh, they ain't gonna get comfortable.
That's a good sign.
Because I was the only one who supported him as he made everybody else.
My job ain't here.
Wait. I was the only one who supported him when nobody else did, and everybody else looked foolish, including Shannon Sharpe.
Jenny,
Am I right?
You're right?
Am I right?
But my job, I'm not here to support anybody. Mm. I'm here to give you the facts, uncut and truth.
Yeah, I resent
that.
I resent that.
What?
I do. I resent that notion. Do you think I'm trying to play to people like I'm trying to cover?
Wait.
Have I ever talked to Tom Brady once in my life?
I don't know.
No. I resent that. I do. I'm not kidding. I don't like that.
Skip, don't resent.
You crossed the line.
Skip, I'm sorry.
Skip. I don't talk to anybody. I have never spoken one word to Tom Brady. Never tried to call him. Never asked to interview him.
But hold on.
Have I ever talked to Dak Prescott except on this show when he came on the show?
Hold on.
You can't get away with that.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
I'm not going to hold it.
You're going to sit here and tell me I'm a hater. I'm jealous of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think
and because you
are.
Comfortable with Tim Tebow, I don't care.
What are you talking about? Have I ever talked to Tim Tebow since I interviewed
you? You're going to sit here and question a Hall of Famer with three Super Bowls and talk about I'm jealous of Tom Brady?
Yes, because you had to stop at 35.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's a whole different world.
And just because you come Tim Tebow comfortable and you love Tim Tebow and Tom Brady, so I don't care if you resent it.
I like them as players, but I don't like them off the field.
Resent it. No
mercy. The Eagles announced yesterday that Nick Foles will get the start at home Sunday against the Texans. Carson Wentz is out with a back injury, but the Eagles are not putting him on IR, which would have ended his season. Foles helped lead the Eagles to a big road win against the Rams Sunday night. They're now 7-7, one game behind the Cowboys in the NFC East. So, Shannon,
yes,
what's going on here?
Carson Wentz is still hurt. It's hard for me to believe that he had a back injury that kept him out of Sunday's game, but he's ready to go back after this game. And this is why you have a quality backup. What you ask your backup to do, come in, keep the ship afloat until the starter comes back healthy. Let's just say for the sake of argument, for some, they win these last two ball games and Nick Foles get injured. Mm-hmm. Well, now you have Carson Wentz, who's your franchise quarterback, coming in to bring it home. A lot of what coaches do is X's and O's. It's putting the guys in the right situations. But a lot of it is gut feel. If you remember in 2001, when Drew Bledsoe got hurt, they went to Tom Brady. When Bledsoe got healthy, Skip, they didn't bring him back. They stuck with Tom. You remember in 1990, Jeff Hostetler, Phil Simms. Now, Phil Simms went 22.
Brady got hurt later, and they had to go back to.
It's in the championship game.
Go ahead.
But when they went to the Super Bowl, Brady started.
Back,
So a lot of it is gut feel. How do I feel? Yeah, I understand X's and O's is very important. But my feeling says, you know what? I'm gonna ride this. I'm going to stick with this a little longer. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a problem with this. And I know, look, Foles is better. I don't believe Foles is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. And there's no reason for them to put Wentz on the on IR if there's a chance that with rest he can come back and play, because Foles might get injured and then you need Wentz to come in and win the last game in order for you to get to the playoffs. So I'm not going to read a whole lot into this. I just believe right now Wentz needs rest for that back, and that's what they said, because it's hard for me to believe that if they thought he was injured enough, they would just go ahead and put him on IR.
Yep.
But they said before in the report that they believe with rest, he can heal properly.
Okay. So, I don't know for sure what is going on with Carson Wentz's back, because they are not divulging exactly what's wrong.
Correct.
I know what Doug Peterson said, and then I know what he did, and they don't match, because he was saying he's really hurt. He's got a fractured vertebrae. It's possible he's got that transverse process injury.
Right.
Remember this? A lot of quarterbacks suffered
Romo
this.
Romo had it, I think.
He had it. Cam had it. Derek Carr had it. I go all the way back to Bryce Petty when he was at Baylor when they were riding high. He had it. They usually miss one game with it because it's a hairline fracture,
right,
without going into the gory detail of it. But it creates discomfort more than it creates pain, where you can play with it and it'll heal quickly. It'll go away.
Right.
So I'm going to just guess, and I am guessing it's something on the order of a transverse process hairline fracture, because when they said fractured vertebrae, I'm thinking, boy, he's done for this year, right?
Exactly.
And he wasn't done. And they wouldn't even commit to Foles on game day until game day,
right?
They waited to the last second to say, oh, he's going to start.
I think they wanted the Rams to prepare for both quarterbacks.
That's highly possible. And then it surprised me, they didn't shut Carson down for this year. So I'm assuming he might be ready to play.
Right.
Okay. So what happened? Here's where we diverge on this. Obviously, I don't think Nick Foles in a vacuum is better than Carson Wentz because he doesn't have as big an arm. He's not as big a man. He's not as physical. He's not the runner that Carson was.
Correct.
He isn't anymore because he's still a little gun shy on his knee.
Right.
But Carson Wentz's body is starting to show wear and tear because he's taken a bunch of shots. It reminds me of early Andrew Luck, where he's taken so many shots because he will run into people and, well, how'd he hurt his knee?
Right.
He's trying to crash through two defenders to get in the end zone, right?
Okay.
But when I watch Nick Foles operate this offense, he operates it more smoothly than Wentz does to my eye.
Okay.
My eye test tells me that Nick Foles is playing the position better than Carson Wentz can play the position in this offense. It looks like it has more flow and rhythm to it. It looks like he's spreading the ball better than locking in on Zach Ertz almost every play the way Carson Wentz does. And all I know is what my eye test told me about the NFC Championship game against your Vikings at Philly, mm-hmm, and then the Super Bowl. Those were two of the greatest playoff games I've ever seen one quarterback play back-to-back in two big stage playoff
games. I'll give you that.
Okay, they were really good, and obviously Nick Foles outplayed Tom Brady in the Super Bowl to the point he was the MVP.
True.
Well, this has never happened in the history of the National Football League that a Super Bowl MVP quarterback then went back to the sideline and had to watch Carson Wentz after the first few games, obviously, because it took Carson a little while to get right. But now you've got him looking over your shoulder, and I believe Doug Peterson got so desperate as they were teetering, you know, as they went to the Rams, he just said, I got to see what Foles can do.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I would be willing to agree with you. Let's see if Carson Wentz is active on Sunday. See, now I'm more in line to agree with you. Because you're like, okay, if he's active and he's addressed and he can play, why isn't he starting?
Man, and all maybe, of a sudden.
And who knows, Skip, maybe that's the plan. Maybe they're like, you know what, we're just going to shut him down. We're not going to dress him. So, therefore, it would keep some confusion.
Okay. So, if he's active on Sunday, and I'm going to guess he will be active, Carson Wentz.
You think so?
Then I believe we could have a musical quarterbacks thing where they're just going to go from series to series, see how Wentz plays, because they're hanging on by a thread. If they can manage to beat the Texans at home, they're still hanging right in there.
But Skip, did we forget? They did score 18 points opening against Atlanta. They scored 21 points in a loss to Tampa. So let's not pretend like Nick Foles had put up 40 and 40 in back-to-back games.
All right. Okay, to start the year.
To start the year.
Okay.
And remember that first game against Atlanta last year, Skip. Atlanta had three cracks thrown into the end zone to win the game.
All right. But I thought there was Super Bowl hangover for this team early, and I thought they had some key camp and preseason injuries.
Okay.
And they didn't look like themselves to open the year. They weren't the underdogs anymore.
Right.
And by the way, now they're going to do some weird thing with ski masks or something.
Yeah.
Did you read about this?
Fans.
Like they're good because they're robbing people of games, mm-hmm, like they're going to go steal games. So now they're wearing ski masks before the game. I don't know. That's what
Jenny hit me on my head with a coffee mug.
Okay,
kind of
whatever
aggressive.
It takes, man. Whatever it takes.
Well,
I don't
yeah.
know.
That's how
desperate they are.
It's a lot.
All I need is Tampa to do rise up. Mm-hmm. I want Tampa to do something special for me on Sunday.
Okay, well, they might. They're highly capable. Jameis, I love Jameis. He's highly capable.
Ooh.
Does he not have weapons? Still got that guy named Deshaun, right? I can see that.
Jameis, I don't know what's going on with this. But that's, look, Skip, see, this is what you try to do.
Well, here's
what. You try to create dissension in the Eagles locker room. That's what you're trying to do.
I've just thought from the start that Nick Foles plays the position of quarterback better than Carson Wentz. That's all I know. And Carson Wentz is turning into a turnover machine because he's tied for second in the NFL with 6 lost fumbles. So he's become, like Dak is too, but he's even worse than Dak this year in lost fumbles. Well, he is. I don't know. Well.
But you're trying. I see what you're trying to do.
I'm not trying
yes,
to do
you
anything.
Are. Yes, you
I'm
are.
I'm just telling you what I
he
see.
He plays the position a little better. See, no, no, Skip.
Well, have you ever seen this in the history of the NFL, those 2 games he played?
Well, if you watch the NFL, you study the NFL long enough, you're going to see something you've probably never seen before. So this is an anomaly.
And it's not like it was Jeff Hostetler going in for Phil Simms and they kind of did game management. You know, let's mostly hand the ball off and Otis high
Anderson.
Percentage.
Correct.
This was Nick Foles bombs away, man. Yes. In the Super Bowl, he just letting it fly. And he features Alshon. To me, again, if I'm rooting against the Eagles, I fear Alshon more than I fear
Well,
Ertz.
You're going to get the bigger chunk plays with Alshon because he's going to try to throw the ball over the top of your head. Zach Ertz is going to move the chains, but the dude has 101 catches. It looks like he's going to come close if he doesn't break Jason Witten's
really
110.
Good. I assume he's going to break it, but we will see. I'm just saying there is a quandary going on here, but if Carson Wentz stays as hot as I think he will, they're going to be a threat to the Cowboys. They're going to win their last 2. I mean, Foles, yeah. If Foles stays as hot as I think he will, because he looked really good against the Rams. It looked different.
But I thought you said the Rams weren't that good. Mm-hmm. You said they were through like 22nd in total yards and stuff.
Yeah, but weren't the Eagles like, what were they, 10, 12-point underdogs?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they were back in there.
13 and a half
was
where
worse.
It ended right
it was
before
up.
The game.
Yeah, it was way up
It was
there.
Really high.
Somebody lost.
Yeah. Huh.
So I saw somebody come in and put $150,000 on the Rams to win.
Yeah. Okay.
I
wasn't me.
It was not. Wish I could do that. No mercy. Well, our next guest won 5 championships with the Lakers and hit one of the most memorable shots in playoff history against Skip Spurs in 2004. He hit this jumper with 0.4 seconds left to give the Lakers the win. And unfortunately, I don't really think Skip's gotten over it yet.
Why did we have to show that?
We had to.
That was the second
you.
Most painful moment in my Spurs watching history because the Ray Allen topped you slightly. But that was May the 13th of 2004, and could you briefly and painfully relive that for us, how it unfolded?
Oh, man. I mean, it looked good for the Spurs after Tim Duncan hit that shot. Man.
Yeah.
I was in disbelief. It was probably the lowest scoring game in the playoffs.
It was. The final score was 74-73.
Yeah, we were up by 13 or 14 points at some point. Spurs make a run.
And then Duncan makes like this fall away from almost.
The and it was the best defense.
I don't think it banked. I think it went straight on. I looked at it this morning.
I feel like it may have banked there.
I think so, too.
It was crazy.
Because that's what you said, one lucky shot. Shaq said one lucky shot.
But that was the best defense Shaq played the whole series.
No, he got out on him. He was all over him. I agree. But he dismissed your shot. Not as lucky, and I don't think it was lucky.
I'll take luck if that's what it was.
Because Ginobili is all over you, man.
But what's funny, though, Skip, is it was not until I saw a still photo after the fact that I knew Ginobili was in my face like that.
Really?
Because eyes were only on the rim.
Wow.
I did not see him at all.
So when it left your hand, did you think good?
I thought it was long. I knew it was right on line, but because I was fading back, I guess instinctively I put extra touch on it. But I thought, I was like, oh, man, I shot that ball way too hard. It's going to go over the basket.
And then you took off running because you probably thought it might have been a little after the buzzer.
No.
Like, no?
No.
No?
Was that shot called for you? I mean, you got Kobe on there, who's one of the all-time big shot takers and makers. Yeah. Was that play called for you?
No. The ball always goes to most situations, Kobe. In this situation with 0.4 seconds left, we're looking for Shaq at the rim first.
Right.
They covered that. Kobe went towards half court, and Robert Horry, instead of staying on the guy to bounds, he went with Kobe, which opened up a passing lane for Gary Payton. So I'm just standing there behind Karl Malone, and I see this big gap in the open court.
Right.
And I just cut that direction.
And Gary Payton's inbound.
And GP threw it, and I knew I had to all in one motion. And I think also being a lefty, the clock operator is behind.
Right.
So the clock operator has to wait a split second to make sure that I've actually caught the ball.
Right.
So, you know, to your credit, Skip, maybe it was 0.5. You got to give, you know, 0.1 second to the clock operator.
So
but
maybe it helped that the play wasn't called for you because you didn't even have to think. It's just like, react, just see it, feel it, shoot it, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. And I mean, I was used to the play not being called for me.
I would say, on that team. Speaking of those Shaq-Kobe teams, Shaq said the other day, I think it was last week, that he believes the 0-1 team, which you knew very well, you're part of, that just swept through the playoffs, except Iverson got you the game one of the finals, but that team would beat this Golden State team. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that when I started to hear about them going back and forth, and I agree with Shaq, obviously, because I was on that team. Right. So, I feel like we could beat anybody. But I also agree with Steph that the debate of trying to compare eras and who's the greatest team, that's a hard thing for me to do. That's not the way my brain works. But I don't think people understand how hard Shaq was to cover.
Oh, I agree.
And when you think about the league as it is today, the league is designed for the perimeter players to get to the front of the basket. The hope is by them getting to the front of the basket, the defense will have to collapse, which then opens up the threes.
Right.
Shaq was the ultimate collapse the defense guy. So that left me, Rick Fox, Robert Horry, mm-hmm. Brian Shaw, everybody like literally wide open most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so I like to think that Robert Horry had kind of that stretch four, Shaq at the five. Rick Fox could guard a lot of people. Kobe could guard a lot of guys.
The question is, when you're dealing with eras,
yep.
How's the game? Is it going to be, are you playing in 2001 rules or are you mm-hmm. playing in 2018? Because if you play with 2018 rules, y'all not winning.
No, I'm fouling out. I'm fouling out.
They shoot it too good. You're right, but Shaq, but they'll concede 2 for 3s.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can make enough 2-point shots to offset what they're going to do from the 3-point line.
Okay, but how would Golden State deal with the greatest offensive force I've ever seen, who was Shaquille O'Neal?
Well, you give Shaq 50.
It wasn't pretty to watch, but it was just what he did to Tim Duncan and David Robinson it wasn't the Western Conference Finals, but the semifinal.
Yeah.
He just ragdolled both of them. They couldn't handle him. They had no hope. It was a clean sweep. You just blew him off the floor.
Yeah, it would be an interesting matchup, but like you said, the rules, I don't know about that, man. We could not run up and down with these guys as fast as they play, the pace they play with, how fast they move without the basketball. Like, we would have a hard time not fouling out trying to keep up with the Warriors today. So I agree with both guys, basically.
So let's fast forward back to the present, and this guy named LeBron James has joined the Los Angeles Lakers, and you do commentary many nights on those games. What are you seeing so far in the Lakers, and what shot do you give them against Golden State potentially in the postseason?
I'm seeing up and down from the Lakers, which I think for a team that is forming, it makes sense. Young guys, injuries. I thought the suspensions kind of started to throw a little bit of, tough stuff kind of going on in their schedule. But based on the way the Western Conference is set up now, I don't see why they don't have a chance to maybe see the Warriors in the playoffs. They're as good as the other 6 or 7 teams that are fighting for the rest of those spots. I don't think they can beat the Warriors in the postseason, though. They might beat them on Christmas Day. There might be a good afternoon.
Right.
But a 7-game series, I'm not sure. Some of the things that are required to win a 7-game series, it takes a little bit of experience with each other to know, when the fire gets hot, I got to know which way Shannon, is he going to switch under pressure?
Right.
Or is he going to stick with the game plan and stay with his
good
man?
Point.
Right.
And those are things that a new team sometimes needs some opportunities to go through.
The thing that concerns me is that I see happens a lot, is that they turn the ball over entirely too much and they shoot free throws poorly.
Yeah.
And I do not believe that you can be a serious playoff contending team if you turn it over, because, they fall. If you look at the Wizards game on Sunday, they have 6 turnovers in the first quarter. Well, that puts you down already by 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a couple of more, and now you're down, a 10 goes to 20, goes almost to 30. The game's over.
Right.
And then when you stop the clock to go to the free throw line, you're missing. They were all up in arms about James Harden shooting all those free throws. The difference is James Harden did make the free throws that he went to the line to attempt, and you missed 13.
Right.
Why are you not upset about that?
Well, I think the shooting part, not just free throws, but also just perimeter shooting on a more consistent level.
Correct.
Also is kind of an area where not maybe it may not be something that somebody else can just come in and do,
right.
but that they have to improve in doing. Mm. They have guys that are capable of making shots, but I also think it's continuing to find what ways of offense that they want to play to get those mm-hmm. shots. Is it going to be just pace and, you know, pushing the ball?
Right.
Or are we going to be able to execute mm-hmm. some stuff to get high-quality shots in the mm-hmm. half court also?
So we have become big fans of Kyle Kuzma.
Yes.
Could he become LeBron's, dare I say, co-star? Could he be that second star? Do you see that ceiling?
I think he's emerged as that this season yeah. so far. I think he has complemented LeBron's arrival wow. as well as anybody else on the roster. I think at the beginning of the season, we all felt like Brandon Ingram had the best chance to do right. that because of his versatility. I think the suspensions kind of threw him off some. Mm-hmm. And I also think just finding where can I get mine on the court with LeBron out there 34 minutes. You know, Kuz doing his thing. Rondo has the ball in his hands when he's there. Lonzo Ball has the ball as well. So B.I. kind of got a little bit lost in the shuffle, mm-hmm. although he's capable. Yeah. But for me, I do think that Kyle Kuzma has separated himself from the pack mm-hmm. as a guy that's kind of second to LeBron that every night
right.
you kind of know what you're going to get from him.
Mm. Which is what?
Which is probably 20 points, 6 rebounds. His assist numbers are increasing. There's a presence to his game.
There is.
Right? Like there's a swagger and a confidence, mm-hmm. but he's also still trying to do that within the balance of it's not just about me. You
right.
know, mm-hmm. 9 for 15. You know, 8 for 17. We're not looking at Kuz getting 20 points on 6 for 20 shots and 6 free throws.
Right.
Yep. You know, he's playing, I think, a well-balanced game. And I think he's trying to make good effort on the defensive end also.
And as a point guard, what do you see in Lonzo's development so far?
I think Lonzo, we talked about it the other night, he's in the curve in terms of turning the corner. Mm. He's on his way, I think, to understanding what his mentality needs to be every night as an NBA player.
More attack mode.
Yeah, I think yep. he struggled with that early. And somebody mentioned to me the other day, he just played his 82nd game.
True.
So
it's a rookie season.
He's basically just finished a full rookie season. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing the benefit of just he's been healthy probably for the longest stretch of time he's been in the league. He's turning the corner. He's dunking the basketball. He's just more assertive and aggressive. And I know LeBron gets a lot of credit, but he should get credit for that as well.
Right,
because
should.
when you see his mentality, the way he comes to work every day, the way he prepares himself, the way he attacks and goes to the rim and doesn't settle for shots, I mean, that starts to rub off on guys, and I think they're all benefiting from his presence.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Rondo Hand is going to be healthy. Then what? Then what? Yeah, because we saw this early on when Rondo got suspended. Yeah. We see Lonzo play major minutes, play well. Rondo comes back. Lonzo kind of sinks back into his shell. Now he's had, like, 10, 15 games to play alongside LeBron. Now that Rondo comes back, where do we go from here?
Great question. That's a great question. I think we'll have to see. It makes sense for a young player to struggle with that, though, because when the more freedom that he has to make mistakes and not be as concerned about
heading to the bench.
Yeah, I got a guy that can do the job really well that's sitting on the bench that the coach can go to. That's probably in the back of his mind at times, and that's totally understandable. But hopefully, this stretch of time, regardless of the minutes, that his approach to playing the game can be the same. So if it's not 36 minutes, but it's 26 minutes, well, I can still do all the same things that I've done in 36 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit shorter, but still be aggressive, still attack the basket, just still go out there, be confident, let it all hang out.
To me, here's the difference. Lonzo will play with LeBron, play off LeBron. Rondo, when he's on the floor, LeBron has to play with Rondo because Rondo's going to run the show in ways that Lonzo just defers. He'll do whatever he vibes off LeBron. You know, he'll just sort of feel it, and they're both so high-level gifted. Not that Rondo isn't, but Rondo's, when he comes out, he
needs the ball.
Over.
Yeah. He can't play. Lonzo can play off the ball.
Yeah.
Rondo needs the ball.
He
can't play off the ball. He's a ball-dominant player. In order for him to be successful, he needs the ball. What's surprising to me, if you believe that Lonzo was going to be the guy, this signing with Rondo was baffling to me.
Yeah,
why would you get a guy where he led the league in assists, he's a champion, and you want Lonzo to grow? Why would you put him in that situation?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, but I think that One, Lonzo had some offseason injuries.
Okay.
And I think they were a little bit uncertain at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
You know, if he's a little bit slow out of the gate, we need somebody, especially since we've signed number 23.
Right.
We can't take the chance of not being solid at that position.
Right.
But I also think that Rondo at this point in his career is also a really good mentor. Mm-hmm. And I think that Lonzo can benefit from seeing somebody that can dominate a game without being a great shooter of the ball.
Okay.
So I have an example now of a veteran guy that's been in the league, won a championship. I don't need to score for people to have to worry about me impacting the game. Mm. So I think that's another positive thing, but your point is a valid one. Mm-hmm. I think that question is going to come into play at the end of this season on whether or not to re-sign another quality guard like Rondo.
So Derek Fisher is now the new head coach of the Los Angeles Sparks. How did that come about?
Seriously?
Yes, that's what we heard. Is that
true?
Yeah,
man. No, I'm really, truly excited.
Oof.
I've been a fan of the women's game, of the WNBA, of the Sparks for a long time. I mean, since they came to L.A., basically, since the league started, I've been a fan. Mm. During the first couple years of championships that they won in 01 and 02, it was right during the heyday of our three-peat years.
Yeah.
And it just felt like L.A. was a basketball championship town. And so over the years, just in following the team, staying in contact off and on with the general manager, Penny Toler, her head coach resigned, and just we started having some conversation, and she said, look, if this is something you would consider doing, you know, there's an opportunity here for you.
Mm.
And they checked boxes for me. Strong ownership that is willing to do whatever it takes to win. Management with championship success, and three championships before I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Toler's done a fantastic job, and a roster that can compete to win right now. So regardless of gender, if I'm evaluating taking a coaching job, those are the boxes that I want to check. So I'm excited to,
that is
to have that.
That's really cool. There you go. Awesome. We wish you the best of luck with that.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again, same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.